Let me get into this, and let me share with you guys just 150 years ago, did you know you could die from a broken arm? It was common to die from a broken arm or broken leg 150 years ago. And everything changed. The guy who I want to introduce you to, Ignaz Semmelweis, okay? I can't say it. He's from Vienna. All right. He was a physician, a director of maternity ward at Vienna Hospital. In 1840, he noticed that a high percentage of patients were dying after childbirth from something they called childbed fever. And up to one in four women died from childbirth. That's a quarter of the women. And it wasn't just at his hospital. It was happening all over Europe. It was happening all over America. That this was common. And after a colleague died from a wound he obtained, he cut himself with a scalpel or something like that, got an infection, and he died. Well, that caused Ignace, if that's how you say his name, it caused him to think, what's going on here? And so he implemented something radical at his hospital. He asked all of his doctors to wash their hands. And in his hospital, they had a morgue and they had the child delivery room. And it was very common that the doctors would go from the morgue to go deliver a baby. And that's what they did. And nobody washed their hands. They didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have hot water. And so for him to suggest, wash your hands, and they did, and the childbirth death rate dropped from 1 in 4 to now less than 1%. So from 25% to less than 1% of mothers died while giving birth. So the issue here is, why wash your hands? Because of something that today, germs, or you can call them cooties, or whatever you want to call them, with microorganisms that you cannot see, these invisible organisms that cannot be seen, they're carried by the wind, they're passed on by physical contact, they can live in food, they can live on surfaces. There's an invisible world that's impacting our visible world. Things we cannot see, things we do not understand. So germs or cooties or whatever, this unseen world has the potential to destroy people's lives. You can't see it. Now, when he suggested wash your hands, many of the people in the medical profession, they listened to Dr. Semmelweis, and they began to wash their hands before surgery. They began wearing masks. They began quarantining themselves. But there were also people who were skeptical. Can you imagine that? People who, I don't believe that. People were skeptical. They sometimes were hostile to this doctor and his new approach to doing things. They were reluctant to take the time to wash their hands between examining patients. Many just didn't believe it. Many thought, this is crazy. This is nothing but conspiracy theory to sell more soap. That's what this is. So some people wouldn't do it. They'd argue with him. You're telling me that something out there invisible is killing us. And he would say, yeah, it is. Now today in our world, we've come to understand he was right. There is this unseen enemy, these germs, and they can be dangerous. Now, everything I'm saying has nothing to do with the current pandemic that we're going through. And that's not where I'm going with this. I want to take you to another invisible world that we need to talk about that is dangerous and destructive and can be deadly. And it can affect us physically, it can affect us mentally, it can affect us emotionally, rationally, the way we think about things, our worldview. It contaminates our worldview, our attitude towards morality, towards purity, towards finances, towards relationships, our marriages, our how we date, how we do business, how we interact with each other. It impacts everything. And it can be physically life-threatening. It can be emotionally life-threatening. It's an invisible world, and it's all around us. And yet some people, we live in a world that rejects this. You're crazy. That's stupid. I don't believe that. People are skeptical because you can't see it. So we live in a world that people want to ignore it. They want to pretend that it doesn't exist. Now, if I took you through the Bible and what the Bible talks about how we are to love one another. And you know a lot of people love those verses. And how wives, how husbands are to love their wives. And the wives love those verses. And how children are to obey their parents, and the parents love those verses. And how God loves us, and we all love those verses. But the Bible also says that we live in this invisible world that's impacting our visible world every day. In the world I'm speaking of here, you can't see it with a microscope. But you can see it with a rearview mirror. If you just take some time and you look back at your life, and you look back at some of the things that you did, some of the things you thought, and I don't know about you, and I don't want to get personal here, I don't want to talk about myself, but I did some stupid things. And I'm just assuming, I'm looking at some of you guys, I know you all did some stupid things. Some of those things I didn't even know about. And then you got to ask, here I am, 56 years old, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? Have you ever had those moments where you're thinking, what was I thinking? How could I have been that stupid? So you understand what I'm saying, right? And it reminds me of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I do, what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that verse. I can relate. I mean, all this, he does what he doesn't want to do. He doesn't do what he does want to do. All these things. I'm like, I'm so there. He's talking to me. And I conclude, what is wrong with me? What is my problem? And Jesus, I think, gives us some real insight to what's going on here in John chapter 8. I want to take you to John chapter 8. And I want to kind of give you an overview of this passage, and then we're going to get into some really deep stuff here. But the overview, this happened right after the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you study John chapter 7, you find out Jesus didn't want to go to the Feast of Tabernacles because it says here the Jews were trying to kill him there. But he did go, and he did speak up. And right after the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus made some pretty incredible claims, pretty outrageous claims about this invisible world that I'm trying to talk about here. One of the claims that Jesus made, he declared that he is the light of the world. And we've all heard that passage before. He's the light of the world. What does it say in John 8, verse 12? When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now look at that, and we've heard this all of our lives. We understand this, but you think about what that when Jesus says he's the light of the world, I relate that to kind of like the sun, which is outside our earth, outside our atmosphere, and it's shining in. And Jesus is come outside our world, shining in. This is just something to think about. Another claim, this one gets really out there. This is crazy here. He says, you judge by human standards. John 8, verse 14, let me take you this. John 8, 14, Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going, because you judge by human standards. Stop right there. Yeah? I mean, what other standards are there? We judge by human standards because, we're human, right? That's why we judge by human standards. And he's kind of saying this as if there's something wrong with you because you're judging by human standards. There's another standard that you need to be judging by. Another claim he makes, third claim he makes, He says, I am not of this world. Verse 23, he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world. Now, what do you do with somebody who talks like that? I'm not of this world. I'm an alien. I mean, you just, okay, I'm starting to think, 2,000 years ago, I can understand where people were kind of skeptical. They're kind of suspicious here. Like, this is weird, telling us that you're from another world. I mean, that's what freaks do, isn't it? That's what, and then we get to claim number four. Claim number four, Jesus declared, the truth will set you free. All right, now that one, everybody likes that verse. The truth will set you free. This is one of our favorite passages. This is one, Hollywood quotes this all the time. They just don't realize they're quoting the Bible. They don't realize they're quoting Jesus. They wouldn't do it if they knew they were quoting the words of Jesus. They'd stop doing it, I think. But it says here, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I want challenges on this here. What is that talking about? Free from what? You can easily say the truth will set you free. Oh, that's a really nice verse and everything. But have you thought, free from what? And at this point, the people he was talking to, they pushed back a little bit. They said, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? So at this point, the people he's talking to, he said, we're not slaves. There's nothing wrong with us. We're not being controlled by anybody. And they're skeptical. They're fighting back. They're pushing back. They're in denial. They might even be hostile to what Jesus is trying to say. Much like Dr. Semmelweis, when he said, hey, we need to wash our hands, you're crazy. And when Jesus said this, they said the same thing, you're crazy. They didn't believe it. That he's insinuating they're slaves to something. Which leads to claim number five that I want you to see here. Claim number five, Jesus declared, you belong to the devil. As if to say, enough about me, let's talk about you, okay? He turns it on them, and this is what it says in verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Now, Jesus gets really offensive here. Kind of gets in their face, points his finger at them. You are from the devil. And I'm thinking, why would, I mean, Jesus who's all loving, our Messiah, our Lord, our Savior. He starts pointing his finger saying, you're from the devil. Why did he do this? It's because they didn't believe him. Because they rejected the thought that they were enslaved to something, that they were in bondage, that they were being controlled. So he calls them children of the devil. And then I can see people push back on that. Oh, hey, from the devil. You are a child of the devil. Is that just a figure of speech? Is that what that is? Because people who live in the here and now, people who live in this world, they don't see the invisible world, there's no way they're going to accept this, that there's a devil, that we are children of the devil. So was all this, if this is a figure of speech, then it was all the claims just figures of speech, that he says he's the light of the world. Maybe it's just a figure of speech, that we're judging by human standards. Maybe that's just a figure of speech, that he's not from this world. Maybe that's a figure of speech. And if all those are figure of speeches, then maybe the truth will set you free. That's just a figure of speech. Or is he saying something very factual here? There is an invisible world, and you need to understand this invisible world that's impacting the world that you're living in. There is a world out there. There's something going on out there, and you need to understand that because it's affecting you. In this invisible world, this is where Jesus is from. This is what he says. There's a completely different set of standards in this world. And there's something about that world that's enslaving people in our world. And there is a devil, is what Jesus says. There is a devil. This is not no figure of speech. Jesus didn't say this in a way that to say this is a figure of speech. He was being quite descriptive here. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar, the father of all lies. That's not a figure of speech. Jesus is trying to tell us something here. He's talking about the devil. He says, there is a devil. This is what Jesus taught. This is what Jesus believed. There is a devil. And let me tell you this. It's not a figure of speech. He's not a little red man with a pitchfork in his hand. And see, because I'm thinking, you know, some of us, we come to the conclusion, because this is what we thought all of our life. This is what the cartoons say. This is what mom and dad just told me about the devil to make me behave, right? Is that that's the whole reason we talk about some devil. It's just to control me so I behave. Jesus didn't refer, this is not, if you got your outline, you see a picture here of an angel. The Bible is that he's actually a fallen angel. Jesus refers to him as a prince, the prince of this world. A prince of this world. And we reduce him to some little red cartoon. No, he's the prince of this world. He's a fallen angel. And this is what it says in Ezekiel 28. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Beauty and splendor. The devil's no, you know, we think he's some ugly little monster. Which, what we're missing here, he is, if I can use the word majestic, a majestic angel, if that's not blasphemous, I want to put in your image, he's something much bigger than what you might be thinking. He's a fallen angel with beauty, with splendor, and he's masquerading as an angel of light. He's actually the prince of darkness, but he's masquerading as an angel of light. And just let me point one more thing out here, that Jesus refers to him as a he. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. And see, we live in a world now that everything's like gender neutral, and you got to be, you know, we pray amen and a woman. It's just crazy stuff. Mr. Potato Head, you can't call him Mr. Potato Head anymore. Now he's Potato Head. Understand that man witches are going to be witches now, just witches, no, not man witches. I don't know about that one. Nobody ever objects to Satan being a he. You know, God's got to be gender neutral now, but Satan is still a he. All the women say, oh, yeah, he's definitely a he, right? So it just drives me crazy, all this stuff. Enough of that. Okay, Jesus says he is a murderer. He is a murderer, which is pretty strong language, right? So Jesus here, he's teaching that his ultimate agenda, the devil's ultimate agenda, is murder. The destruction of human life. The destruction of those who are made in the image of God. There is a devil, and he's a murderer. And the third thing I need you to see here, he lies. And what you need to see is this is how he murders. This is how he destroys people's lives. This is his means of destruction. It's through deception. This is what he's good at. He's really good at it. You read the scriptures, you discover that he has limited powers. He only has one tool, and this is it. He's limited to deception, distortion, confusion, the twisting of the truth. He has limited powers, but he does have the ability, the freedom, and the power to deceive people in such a way that results in devastation and destruction of human life in all that we value. Our relationships, our freedom, our friendships, our marriages, our families, our communities, our nation. He's out to destroy it all. And how does he do this? With deception. By confusing the human mind so that we think. Our human standards that we think, and as we think, and he distorts the way we think, all of a sudden, right becomes wrong, and wrong becomes right. And it leads to a lot of confusion. And don't we see this in our world today? All the things have been turned upside down. In the end, he destroys, he murders the human heart and the human mind, the human body, and ultimately the human soul, the spirit. And as I said, he's really good at this. Because you remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve had it all. They lived in paradise. They walked in the presence of God. You can't touch them. But he did. And if he can get through to them, if he can mess with them, he can mess with you. You think you're better than Adam and Eve? You think you got it all together? You think Satan can't touch this? Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more crafty than all the other wild animals the Lord has made. Talking about the devil. He said, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? That's what he said to Eve. What has he said to you? Did God really say this? Did God really say that? And all of a sudden, you're messed up. You're confused. You're thinking, maybe the church is archaic. Maybe the Bible's not the Word of God. Maybe Pete doesn't know what he's talking about. And don't. I get that. But, you know, we start buying into things that we shouldn't be buying into. And is that not what's happening in our world today? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Our whole world is being led astray right now into destruction. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Be careful or you will be enticed. You will be enslaved. You will be destroyed. And this is scary stuff that we're talking about here. Thinking about the devil, and I mean, I wish he was just a figure of speech. But the reason I feel like this is important, we got to talk about this because maybe this could be helpful to us. Maybe this would explain some things. Maybe this would give me some insight and understanding in how to deal with temptation, how to deal with addictions, how to deal with struggles, you know, problem, with relationships, you know, where we blame each other, where Paul writes, you know, our fight is not with flesh and blood. It's not, we fight with each other because we don't see what's going on in this invisible world. We don't understand this. So we start turning on one another. Maybe this explains the story of the prodigal son, or, you know, if you're experiencing, you've been the prodigal son, or you have a prodigal son, or you have a prodigal daughter, and you don't get it because life is so good at home, but they ran away from it all. They walked away from it all, and now they're feeding pigs. How does that happen? It's because Satan gets in your head, and he twists things, he turns things, he distorts things. So we got to understand what's going on in this invisible world. I'm thinking, you know, Dr. Semmelweis, he didn't just accept this as normal. One in every four ladies dying who was giving birth. That's not normal. This is not good. This is not healthy. We can do better. And I'm looking at our world and thinking, can we not do better? Don't you see? Something is wrong with the way we're doing things. We can do things better. That's what Jesus came to teach us. We can do things better than this. But we're in bondage. We've been enslaved. So I want you to understand some things. I kind of thought, you know, just think about the symptoms, what's going on around us. Bondage, depression, anger, lust, broken lives, broken marriages, broken relationships. Just pay attention to what's going on. It's not that hard to see, is it? We see the destruction all around us. And my fear is we just, oh, that's just normal. That's a dangerous place to be. Because the danger here is it's destructive. It's going to destroy us. And I thought, I read an illustration about John Piper. I thought it would be helpful here. He was addressing the whole postmodern world where truth is relative. And so he gives this example. He says, suppose you want to go skydiving. And if you want to go skydiving, you need four things. One thing you need is the opportunity to go skydiving. And you need the ability to go skydiving. And you need the desire to go skydiving. Just think about those three things right there. The opportunity is here. You're going to go skydiving. And then your car breaks down. You can't get there. Okay, the opportunity is gone. Now you don't have the opportunity to go skydiving. He says, what about the ability? The ability, you know, you get there and you want to jump out of a plane because you're crazy, and then you find out you got to take classes. So they don't let you jump out of the plane until you take classes because right now you don't have the ability. So, you know, if the opportunity is not a problem or the ability is not the problem, what about the desire? You get in the plane and they go up in the air, they open up the door and they say jump, and you say no. All of a sudden, what you had the desire, but now the desire is gone. You don't have the desire anymore. So he says you need the opportunity, you need the ability, you need the desire. He says there's one more thing that you need. You need a parachute. It's kind of important, isn't it, to have a parachute? But yet we live in this postmodern world where truth is relative. Well, gravity is not relative. There's truth that when you jump out of a plane, you go down 100 miles an hour and you hit the ground and the ground hurts. That's truth. So you can deny truth all you want, but you deny truth and say, I don't want to wear a parachute. I want to be free. No, the parachute is what gives you the freedom to do that. Truth is what gives you the freedom to live life to the full. But as soon as you take the truth off and do it your way, it leads to destruction. I thought that was a good illustration to kind of point out what we are doing with truth. So to understand the symptoms, when you look around at the world, you see the symptoms, you understand the danger. If I don't live by the truth, if the truth gets distorted, relationships are going to get hurt, people are going to get hurt, lives are going to get destroyed. And understand the cure. The cure, what Jesus says in John 8, verse 31, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the truth will set you free. And you need to hold to the truth. And what is that? Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings. If you hold to his teachings, that is the truth. That is where the freedom comes. Then you will be free. Now let me wrap up. When Jesus calls these men children of the devil, these men who claim to be free, men who claim to be sons of Abraham, but you know, in the end, they actually proved that they were sons of the devil. Because what did they do? They actually lied about who Jesus was. They actually recruited false witnesses to testimony, to give false witness, false testimony about who Jesus was. They lied. And the result of that, they murdered Jesus. They crucified him. So these men who said they were free, who claimed they were free, you look at their actions and you see they bought right into all the lies that Satan was selling. They bought right into it. About 30 years after that, a man named Paul comes along and he writes a letter to the Ephesians. And in this letter, he teaches the Ephesians things that he learned from Jesus Christ himself. He taught them how to live. And he taught them how to love. And he taught them what a good marriage looks like. And how to raise a family. All that's in the book of Ephesians. A great book. I love the, and it's a short book. It's not that much. But these are the teachings of Jesus Christ. If you hold to my teachings, you will be free. And then he ends the book of Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6. He writes this, put on the full armor of God. If you understand all these things, how to live, how to love, how to conduct your marriage, how to raise your children, now put on the full armor of God. Why? What's he talking about? Why didn't he do that? So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, against his lies. And I want you to see something here. Paul, he believed, he taught, there is a devil. He's not a figure of speech. There is a devil. And he has schemes. He has plans. He has strategies. A strategy to destroy you. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Once again, notice that Paul refers to him as a he. Can't get around that. He is a he. Okay? And he has schemes. And to understand Satan's schemes, the devil has schemes, plans, and strategies, and it's so simple. He takes what is true and he twists it and he distorts it to destroy us. He does it to destroy us. And I mentioned this a few weeks back, and I don't want to explain it. I don't have time to explain it, but I feel like it's worth repeating again. 99% of rat poison is nutritious. You need to understand what that's about. How you can take a good thing and you can put a little poison in it and you can destroy. That is what Satan is doing with the words of God. That's what Satan does with the truth. He messes with it to destroy us. He twists it so it destroys us. And yet there are people, you can be skeptical. You go, Pete, you're stupid. I don't believe any of this. We live in a world that wants to believe that God is all love, but the Bible is not the word of God, and there is no devil, there is no hell. We all go to heaven in the end. That's the world. That's the lie that a lot of people have bought into. I'm thinking maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're skeptical, just like people were skeptical with Dr. Semmelweis. I don't believe that. You know, this is an invisible world. I don't believe that. Well, I'm just saying, look in the rearview mirror. Maybe not of your life, but of history. Look at history. Look at what happened this past summer. The riots, the burning down of cities, the killing of police officers, fake news everywhere. Look at what's going on in our world today. And let me take you back to what, 80 years ago, I think about 80 years ago, to the Nazis and the concentration camps. I read this. I thought this is interesting here. You take a look at the incredible planning of the concentration camps. It was a machine. It wasn't somebody just got mad at somebody one day. It took years of planning. It was sophisticated, well-designed killing machine. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people thought the best thing to do is to round up Jewish people who've done nothing to them and steal everything they own and systematically kill them. Let's just kill as many as we can because that will help us accomplish the greater good. And people bought that? People thought this was okay? This is twisted. In the nation of Germany, as a people, with their conscience, they look back on that period of their history and they're ashamed and they're embarrassed. And they think, as individuals, what were we, how could we do that? What were we thinking? And that's just the Germans. That's in Germany. I could take you to Rwanda and do the same thing. Or Darfur and do the same thing. The genocide that happened there and is graphic. People killing women and children and cutting off the hands of children and the arms of children. It's horrible. And a whole society thought that was okay. How can you do that? Let me take you to some things that are happening in our world today. There's child pornography. There's sex trafficking. I mentioned in the first service slavery that happened, 150 years ago. Well, David Harris, he corrected me. Slavery is going on today. Just nobody talks about it. You go over the Middle East, and slavery is common. North Africa, slavery is common. And a lot of times they're enslaving Christians, and nobody's talking about that. Nobody talks about that. And they're okay with it. That's just how things are done. It's twisted. And I like to bring up as often as I can the abortion industry that's happening in our world today. In a nation that at one time we said this was a Christian nation. And we kill babies and we think nothing of it. And all these things, they're on the news so often that we become numb to it. We don't even think about it anymore. Pick any one of the things I just talked about. And you can think of several others as well. And how can you explain any of this without a devil, without a schemer, without a deceiver? That whole society can buy into such lies and not think twice about it. Jesus says 2,000 years ago, he taught us he's a murderer. He's a murderer. And he accomplishes all the destruction through deception. There is an invisible world and it's impacting our visible world every single day. That's why we've got to pray, Lord, help me put off all falsehood. Lord, help me to see as you see. Help me to see by your standards, not my standards. My standards are messed up. This world is messed up. I need to see things the way you see things. I need to put off falsehood because there is a deceiver who's twisting everything. And when you think about the devil, you got to get away from this concept of Halloween, some haunted house, and the devil's going to pop out and scare you someplace. No, what concerns me is the realities of our world that are being twisted all around us. The views that we have of one another getting twisted. The views of marriage getting twisted. The views of how to raise kids getting twisted. Our money getting twisted. Our world, our politics, our religion, everything's twisted. That's what concerns me about the devil. God's word says, put on the full armor of God. I hope you see that's not a figure of speech. That is a reality. We need to live guarded as soldiers, understanding the spiritual war that we are in. It says in verse 14, Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I hope you see the importance of that now. It's not just something you gloss over. No, I need to be surrounded and protected by the belt of truth. And what Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. There is an invisible world that's impacting the visible world. And I beg you to hold to the teachings of Jesus Christ, to know the truth, so you can be free from the lies of the devil.